Hello and welcome back to the show. So I am super excited to be sitting here with my guest today, Neil Timmons. Neil is a real estate agent and a real estate investor who is one of the top real estate agents who end up shifting his business a little bit into the investment side because he wanted to build both time and money freedom and really enjoy the lifestyle that he's built through his success. Neil is the CEO of Legacy Impact Investors, and he actually used to be the number one RE/MAX agent in all of Iowa who has closed over $300 million in transactions. And he is now empowering other real estate agents to build passive income through real estate investing so that they can become what he calls agent optional, which is an awesome term. So we're going to be talking all about that today, his success in real estate, and also just how real estate agents out there can build passive income and really enjoy the life that they've built. So Neil, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me here, Kobe. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to chat with you and share some stuff with the audience.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm super excited to have you here as well. So before we dig into anything, I'd love for you to be able to share a little bit about your story, how you got into real estate, and really how, what was the turning point in your career that you realized that you needed to make a shift into building passive income rather than just being the top producer that you were.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me start with where I'm at today, then let me take you back to the beginning. Does that sound fair? So
Sounds
today
good.
I'm a real estate syndicator focused heavily on cash flowing industrial property here in the Midwest, and I've been buying commercial properties now for 5 years. Just last year, decided to grow and grow a little really strategically with some handful of investors, and that's really what I'm looking for today is to grow smartly with a handful of the right investors who share a same vision and same goals that I share. But let me take it back to the beginning. Started 20 years ago selling real estate. My mom got into real estate a year ahead of me. I was a banker at the time, and we were swapping paychecks, if you will. I realized she made twice what I made when I was working at a bank. And I thought, well, if mom can do that, I can do better. So I dove into real estate as an agent, selling houses. And then, as you said, quickly, 4 years in, owned a RE/MAX, became the number one RE/MAX agent in my 20s. And then morphed on, made a couple of dollars, and it was like, cool, how do we employ this? Started in the single family game, fixing and flipping, done hundreds of them, bought dozens and dozens and dozens of rentals, thinking that was going to be my path to financial freedom. And I think single family, the idea that single family home is passive might be the greatest lie of our life. There is nothing passive about a single family rental property. It just is not the case. And so 5, maybe 6 years ago at this point, stumbled into my first commercial property, got introduced to the property through a broker, and had to take a hard look about, am I good enough? Do I have all the right connections? What are the things I don't know or should know? Whatever it may be. But what I did know is what I was doing wasn't going to get me where I wanted to go. So took the leap of faith, bought the property, still own it today. And a couple of months in, I'm like, well, you know what? This is way easier than single family houses. And so that led me down the rabbit hole, if you will, of commercial property. So have bought in my backyard just about everything because our ability to manage and execute is pretty high. So have bought mobile home parks, self-storage units, office buildings, which we still own, which are some of our best performers today, retail buildings. But last year, it became a very hard focus specifically on industrial and right here in the Midwest.
Wow, that's really awesome that you were able to basically take your success in selling real estate, translate it into being a single family investor, and then also translate that into now being a successful commercial real estate investor as well. So I really want to kind of dig into some of the thought process that you went through as you were making that transition in the first place, becoming a an investor, right? Because you were a you're the number one RE/MAX agent in the entire state. You're obviously doing really well. And there's a lot of real estate agents out there today who are either a little bit newer or maybe they're already at that point in their careers where they're producing high levels of sales. And they're just kind of satisfied where they are right now. The checks are coming in, they're happy. So what was it that really motivated you, if you will, for you to kind of take a different look and a different approach at things to say, hey, I'm successful here, but if I keep doing this, I might not ever be able to retire and really enjoy my life.
We talked about this pre-show. What's the cost of that success, right? That cost of success was I came home when I was, I don't know, 31-ish or so, and wife of a decade, roughly at that point, and three little kids all under five. And my wife had them all packed up and said she was ready to leave for good. The cost of that success was working 6.5 days a week for 355 days of the year. It's what it took to become number one. And so although the accolades were great and the money was good, came at a cost of a tremendous personal cost. And so I pleaded with my wife to give me an opportunity. And she did. 30 days later, I sold my Remax. And then it was, I was out of the real estate. It was taking some time off to go, how am I going to get this to go? How is this going to work? And I came back in as an investor, because I know like trust real estate in a very big way. And as an investor, it gave me much more control over my time. And that's really, you know, that's what commercial property and that's what investing has done for me. That ROT, a lot of us talk about the ROI, what's my return on investment? It's really what's my return on time. And where do I get that time? And that's what it has allowed me to do. Investing and doing it right has allowed me to have personal time freedom. And that's why I ultimately have created Agent Optional, which is simply a platform to help other agents come with us, invest alongside us, so that they can become Agent Optional on their terms. They may want to work till they're 100 years old. This is a wonderful industry, and I commend that. What I don't want them to do is have to work until they're 100 years old if they don't want to, right?
Yeah, having that choice, right? So that's why I love that term, Agent Optional, because there's a lot of agents who do actually enjoy, you know, working the business, making a lot. You know, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But what if there was, let's just say, a personal injury, right? Or an emergency where you are not able to go out there and sell real estate? That becomes a real liability for you if you haven't been investing or saving up or creating a different stream of income.
How about much more simplistic? How about you hate the client that you're working with, but you have to work with them because you need the money? We've all had clients who are like, this is not worth, the check is not worth it, but you know, you need to do it because you have responsibilities, right? You have things. It'd be nice to be able to be an agent on your terms and work with the people you want to work with. And more specifically, when you want to work, right? The times of day. And I know a lot of people, especially as they get a little older in my area, we talked about this again before we went live here. In the same week, it's going to be 70 degrees. It also snowed this week. There's plenty of people I know who like to spend some time down south where that's not the case. It's to have the option, that freedom that this industry can't afford you.
Right. And that's a really good point there as well, is the location freedom, right? Because as a real estate agent, you need to be in that local area representing clients, showing houses, going on listing appointments, taking care of the people that you're working with as well. So being optional at that point, you're able to, like you said, go down south, right? Travel the world, even maybe move to a different country for a period of time. And it really gives you that flexibility and freedom, which I think a lot of people are looking for when they get into the real estate industry as an agent, and then figure out that that's not the case. So as far as you being a successful investor, right? So what would you say, you know, that you did as far as taking the success that you had as an agent, and what parts of that were you able to apply to building a successful investment business, both on the residential side and also on the commercial side?
Yeah, great question. So as it morphed on the residential side, it was the ability to go directly to a seller to be able to find an opportunity and to sell against agents. So what I mean by that is, as an investor, we go directly to seller and market to them, whether it's whatever methodology or medium it has to be. But let's say mail, postcards, for example. Well, we can buy a home as is, never ask you to fix or repair anything, literally leave a house full of stuff. So we've had houses where we bought almost everything. I bought a house, it's been 3 years ago at this point, from a retired couple who wintered down south, and they decided they want to move permanently down south. And all this stuff they had up here in the north, they didn't need anymore because they had two of everything anyway. So literally, I'm talking glasses, dishes, silverware, everything. I mean it all. They took their clothes and that was it. They left. And because it was the convenience factor for them. Money was not the most important factor. Convenience was the most important factor. So sell against what a real estate agent could do, which I'm still a real estate agent, right? What are we going to do with a house full of stuff as an agent, right? So the ability to solve a problem, that was really what it came down to. And now on the commercial side, we've bought multiple properties, same thing, direct to a seller solving a problem. But a larger percentage is utilizing brokers and off market. Typically our stuff that we buy is through a broker and done off market. So it's the ability to build relationships, to have credibility, to know that when you say something, you're going to do something, you're going to close, you're actually going to do it. The world of commercial real estate and buying a property is just very different than the residential world, right? Where you have 5 or 8 days for an inspection, if you will, and then the earnest money just looks different. And it is it's a big boy and a big girl world in the commercial side, where earnest money is a real numbers, and people will argue about it. So everything's very firm, and it just becomes very different. So building those relationships and having a reputation for executing, it very important.
Right. Absolutely. And that's really, really interesting, because a lot of agents, right, they don't think about it that way, where they can apply their success and their experience and knowledge into becoming a successful investor in other realms, or maybe just even other businesses at that
Sure.
point. So you were able to do that very successfully. And as an agent, I think, they should start thinking about that, right? What are some things they can do to get into investing? And I think, you know, that's a good question for you as well. You know, if somebody's out there who is actively selling real estate, they're already, you know, don't have a lot of time to spend on anything else other than servicing clients already. Yeah. You know, a lot of times we hear questions like, well, how am I going to take the time out to either learn investing or start investing myself? I'm too busy working with clients. What can some of these agents do, whether if it's, you know, just representing investor clients, or, yeah, you know, potentially just, you know, committing to a certain period of time a day? What can they do to start this journey? Because as we all know, if they don't start, it's never going to happen.
Correct. Well, this is going to sound self-serving, Kobe, but go to my website, agentoptional.com. We've got a free investing series. You can get the videos there. But more past that, I would say, don't do it. What I really mean by that is align yourself with avenues in which you can invest with and through other people to be a passive investor. And here's what makes me say that. A doctor, an attorney, they're really good at doing what they do. They're excellent at what they do. They're really good at earning money, but they're not going to just all of a sudden become a full-time real estate investor. It's just not going to happen. But they absolutely put money in those avenues because they know like trust real estate as an asset. Just like when they, you know, if they're going to invest with or through a stock to buy stock market, they don't become a stock broker or an investment advisor. They find somebody that they can trust and help them down that path. So I would say, educate yourself and understand how you can participate in these things, but without having to change your day job, because you're excellent at what you do. That's the thing that will create the dollars and cents for you and allow you to live. The other avenues where you can place your dollars allow you to become wealthy and become ultimately job agent optional on your terms.
Right. So the way you look at it is you need to think of investing as a more of a passive activity rather than an active activity, right? Because you have your job, right, as an agent that's selling real estate, right? And then you take the money that you're making from your commission, so do a great job of selling real estate, and then just reinvest it or redeploy it into commercial or residential real estate investment. So that way you actually have, you know, a buffer against something bad happening, or, you know, having that flexibility to be able to.
For almost all agents, that's absolutely the best path for them. Yes.
Yeah. So now, as far as investing vehicles, right, do you have, you know, obviously you are a syndicator yourself. There's, you know, you work on different types of investment properties, like we mentioned earlier in the show. You know, as an agent who is starting out, should they just start with commercial real estate investing? Should they look into potentially residential first? You know, what would your advice be on that for an agent who is looking to invest some money into
it? Absolutely. It starts with what's the goal? What are you trying to achieve? Right. And so if you really want to be hands-on, that's something that appeals to you, buy a house, buy an investment property or a commercial property, but get hands-on and get educated that way. If just having the benefits, right? You want the cash flow, you want the tax benefits of owning real estate, but you don't want to deal with the tenants, the termites, the toilets, the personal guarantee on the loans that come along with it. You don't want to deal with any of that. Being a passive investor is the best way to go to be able to get all the benefits, but without all the headaches.
Right. So things like investing in syndications and investing in, you know, real estate funds and different things like that, right? As an agent, that's a lot, I would say that's a lot easier for somebody to be able to manage rather than going out there and trying to, you know, fix and rehab their own property.
That's why I said for almost all agents, that's the best route to go, because when you start going to rehab a property, now you're into a totally different set of skills. Being an agent is about marketing, building relationships, knowing how to negotiate. And that just really means communicate to come two different parties to come together to an agreement. Rehabbing is a total different thing, right? You're into an entirely different business. And that's what has me say for most agents, speak just like the doctor, getting excellent at one thing. So ultimately you can become so valuable that generating tremendous amounts of income, and then deploy that effectively through the right people. That's generally the best solution for somebody, and the fastest way to be able to get there.
Right. And I love that you mentioned that. I love that you mentioned that, being a rehabber is almost like learning a completely different business, because if you think about it, it is a completely different business. There are contractors and entire companies that's all they do is rehabbing the properties, right?
Correct.
And you have to learn that entire business if you wanted to do that on your own or pay somebody else to do it, which again, you're going to have to come out of pocket in order to do that. So that is very interesting. And as we all know, as busy professionals, we don't necessarily have the time or want to spend the time to do that, right? Because, thinking about the end goal is you want to have more time, right? More time to spend on
are
your...
Are you saying it's not as easy as that 22-minute show I saw on HGTV? It's not that simple?
No, it's definitely not, right? People are watching these shows out there telling them how easy it is to rehab, right? And in reality, it's a legitimate business that you have to learn.
Yeah,
And
right.
And that's just one part of it, right? Because investing in residential, it's not just the rehab side, it's the acquisition side, which again, there are entire businesses out there that do acquisitions, wholesaling companies,
correct.
Right? And then there's the management side, right? Property management companies. That's three businesses that you have to learn in order to manage a successful portfolio of single family rentals.
Yeah. I always say there's no right and there's no wrong. There's only what's right for you, whatever that happens to be. And so that's why I love the work you do and the people plugging into the podcast to get educated so you can find that right path for oneself.
Right. Absolutely. It's based on your goals and kind of what you feel like works for you, right? That's, I think, absolutely anybody needs to start thinking about that, whether they're investing in single family, multifamily, commercial, whatever it is. You have to think about what you want to do and what works for you and the vehicle that you want to leverage your income in as well. So yep. Now you have something that I saw is called the 7-step playbook for agents to invest passively. I'd love to have you be able to go through that a little bit. I know there might be some details you want to kind of keep to yourself a little bit or have people go through your programs, but anything that you can share on that 7 steps.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's exactly what I alluded to earlier. It's our 7-step video series on how to become agent optional, 100% free, by the way. I don't have any courses that I sell. It's not about that. It's about, for us, it's simply, we want to grow strategically with the right folks and really make an impact in agents' lives. Cause I know had I had an avenue like this for me, when I was at Remax cranking away, I suspect, I wouldn't have had to work. I wouldn't have pushed myself as hard as I pushed myself. It would have looked a little different as passive income comes in from the things that take place, right? From making smart decisions. And that's what I love about real estate is when we do a project today, when I say project, we typically are acquiring a property that's existing. We can do the work one time and get paid every month, right? Distributions come in on a regular basis, routine basis. And so the 7-step playbook is simply, how can you become optional? So what we're doing through there is largely educating what is a syndication business? How do you evaluate these things? And it's not just with us, but these are applicable to any other syndicator. And for those who don't even know what the word syndicator means, I'll describe it like this. We essentially we're the ones going out, finding the deals, putting the whole deal package together, and then we turn around and offer that to limited partners. So a handful of right investors who then invest alongside us. I'm investing very heavily in every deal that we do. So they invest alongside of us and we become responsible for things. We're the ones executing the business plan, taking care of all the debt that goes on the property, everything that's associated with the execution of that business plan. And they simply get to reap the benefits, tax benefits, and also the cash flow benefits of that property.
Right. Absolutely. Investing in syndications is, I think, one of the most passive ways to be able to leverage your money and invest in real estate. But because of the way it's structured, you're also going to get a lot of the benefits from investing in a syndication rather than some type of, you know, Wall Street fund or something that just happens to invest in real estate, right? You're not getting those benefits. So walk the listeners through, if you don't mind, of what it, you know, what are the specific benefits of investing in a syndication, especially as a real estate agent? And also, how would you, as a passive investor, analyze and find these opportunities to invest in so that you can have your money leveraged and also reap the benefits, like you said, like tax and different things like that?
Yeah, the biggest benefits is, you know, you get a tax benefit. And so when we do these, we put a whole package together and lay out what those benefits are, meaning here's what our projected cash flow looks like for the next 5 or 10 years, whatever the business plan happens to be for the particular property. Here are the tax benefits. So we do what we call is what's called cost segregation. So we essentially accelerate the tax benefits through depreciation of a property so that we can front load those tax benefits. We like big giant tax deductible money today, right? So we want to minimize our tax liabilities. So tax benefits big on the front end, along with ongoing cash flow. And then if we're going to, depends what's in the business plan for each particular property, but you know, it's either refi cash out, so people are getting part of their money back when we do a refi, or if we're going to sell the property, naturally get a big chunk of the profit there when the property is sold. So, you know, the next piece of your question is, how do we find these things? And that's a challenge, because it's not like you're going to, you know, syndication.com and there's hundreds of them. It's plugging into podcasts like this. It's Googling and finding syndicators, and it's getting to know people. And so, you know, on my website, agentoptional.com, there's a button. You can, of course, get the free series. You can schedule a call with me, though. Literally, let's just have virtual coffee and get to know each other and ask a bunch of questions. It's largely about getting educated and then understanding who it is that you're dealing with. You know, for us, and I occasionally invest in other people's syndications, I want to know that somebody's got skin in the game. So are they writing checks to be part of this? Right. So I want them to have to, I want our incentives. If I'm going to invest with somebody, I want the incentives to be perfectly positively aligned. And so that's what we do, right? Oftentimes I'm guaranteeing the debt in many cases. So you better believe our incentives are aligned when I've got to guarantee a whole bunch of money on a project. And percentage of the profits, typically, depending on the deal, we get a percentage of the profit. The better we do, the more we get. So naturally I'm incentivized to go, I want to make and deliver excellent returns for investors.
So making sure that you are aligned with a syndicator, or, you know, for, I guess, more the operator of the syndication, right? Who is also has skin in the game, and also they know what they're doing, right? So obviously somebody like yourself who's done this for a long time, who has a lot of syndications going on at the same time and a lot of properties that you've invested in and experience in a lot of different types of investments. That's, you know, I will say something positive to look for as far as working with a syndication partner to invest your money with and through, so that way you know you're going to be taken care of, and you know that you know you're not putting your money in the hands of, you know, somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing, which you know, there are cases like that, right? So what are some things, I guess, for people to look out for, right? What, you know, right, what do you see as you're analyzing syndications to invest in? You know, this is just something that, you know, you would almost think of like a red flag that you absolutely need to step away from.
Well, yeah, you hit it on the head. So let me back up one piece. You know, we bought my team me, my dollars, we bought millions and millions and millions of dollars in real estate before we ever took an investor's dime. We got to the spot where we were growing and had more opportunity than money. And that's ultimately where our syndication business has grown out of, at that standpoint. So from my standpoint, it's if a syndicator has to do a deal because there's acquisition fees in the deal, if they have to do a deal in order to make payroll, or that's how they run the business, they must transact. I don't really, to me, that's a red flag. In my business, we've got it structured because we own enough property. We don't have to transact. We don't need the transaction fee in order to make the payroll, in order to keep the lights on. Right? We want to do really, really good deals strategically, so that everybody can reap the benefits and reap the rewards of that, instead of being forced to do a deal. Because you got overhead, right? So we take a, you know, we take a much longer term approach to these things. What I, you know, when I got into real estate on the investment side, it was to actually own real estate, not to make a living off fees or syndication fees or property management fees. It was to actually own true real estate, because tremendous freedom and flexibility comes from the ownership of real estate and passive income.
Right. And that's, you know, that's a really good point there. If, you know, people are, if they're getting into investments just because they have to, that's a major, major red flag, right? Because you, that's something you never want to do, is invest because you have to. It has to be something that actually makes sense. You know, it all comes down really to the numbers, right? You're investing money and you're trying to get money back. So if it's not working, then it's not working, right? You don't have to. You should never invest because you're forced to invest or put your money into something. And that's very important as well. So,
you know, what you asked me about red flags, a couple other ones come to mind. You know, the debt. One should be asking questions surrounding what kind of debt's going on the property. If we read the headlines, syndications that have gone bad and over the course of the last couple of years has been, I've read a lot about the apartment space, syndicators in the apartment space, because they used floating debt. There was no fixed rate debt there. And they just got caught in a very bad environment. And so for us, cash flow is king. So we're looking for a property, and what do our rents look like today? What do our debt look like today? And we should be making money from day one. Day one, right? It's just budgeting this thing out so it's a case, versus, you know, we hope these things may come. So a red flag would be if all these assumptions have to come true in order for you to make money, that's a red flag that you got to be asking a whole lot of questions on, because it should make sense from day one and it should just simply improve.
Right. Absolutely. So that's some really great tips for people out there who are actually looking to invest in syndications, real estate agents who are looking to grow their passive income as well through the ownership of real estate. So love to dig on in just a little bit here as we wrap up the show on kind of what you guys are doing in your specific business and your specific commercial real estate investments. You know, you mentioned earlier on that you invest in a variety of different asset classes, right? Mobile home parks, self-storage units. Now you're going into more industrial. You know, is that something that you guys are looking into the future? Is there a specific type or types of investments that you guys are looking to grow as far as the different opportunities you guys are able to offer in the future?
Yeah. So in my backyard of Des Moines, Iowa, we buy just about anything, because we've got, I've been here 20 years and have a tremendous deep network. And so that's where we have owned and operated just about any asset class, and we'll continue to do so just because our ability to execute is very high. As soon as we cross the state border, it's industrial only. We can execute at a very high level across state borders. Just because we've got that specific thing, there's fewer moving pieces on that compared to, say, a mobile home park. It's just not the same. It's much, much easier to manage and execute at a high level. And so, yes, we're focused on the Midwest, on industrial property specifically. And, you know, certainly if you reach out, we'll have a conversation about why industrial property. The demand is incredible, and it allows itself for, you know, unlike an apartment, a lot of ups and downs depending on what's taking place. It is simply just very stable. You know, the last one we just acquired out of Wisconsin, they signed a new 10-year lease with us. So 10 years, they're responsible for everything that takes place in that building. So if the roof goes bad, they have to replace it. HVAC goes bad, they have to replace it. So it is truly as passive as it gets. And we know exactly, we've got a tremendous long-term tenant who's been in business years and years and years, and they love the property, and they're going to be there at least a decade at this point.
Wow. Yeah. So that's a very good, very good breakdown of why you guys are investing in industrial property. So do you guys do any multifamily or apartments, or is that something you guys mostly stray away from?
Yeah, that's where I started, coming out of the single family and then buying small multis, but we don't have we've got small multis. We don't have any large complexes at all.
Now, is there a specific reason for that, why you guys don't invest in multifamily? Because it's very popular amongst other investors.
Huge, hugely popular. And for most real estate agents, that's the next bridge, because it's easy to comprehend a single family home and then do a 4, 8, or 50, whatever it may be, versus industrial. It's just, I got exposed to it a little differently. The management side of things, if we found the right property in the backyard, we you know, certainly would buy it. But the management side of things, our ability to I just love the demand and the ease of management associated with the commercial side of things. You know, even though, so we've got a few dozen rental properties, and certainly we've got late payers on the rental side, the apartments and the houses, right? We've got late payers. We've had to evict. I can tell you from all the period of time of owning commercial real estate, I've never had to evict anyone ever. And so part of that is you're just dealing with a different tier of people. That's a large reason why.
Right. And they're renting the properties for a different reason as well. So it's, you know, it's not out of necessity. I need a place to stay. It's, you know, I'm running a business here.
It's out of a function of a business that especially in the industrial side, that is like a truck, is like a piece of mechanical or machinery equipment in manufacturing. It is a tool to operate their business to make money. That's what the real estate is. And therefore they need that tool. They pay the rent in order to operate their business to make money. Yes.
Right. Absolutely. And that's a great way to look at it. And that's why it makes such a great investment vehicle, because it's so much more stable and requires less headache and going back and forth that we all hear of residential investors and even apartment investors, right? Having to evict, having to do this and go through the county and all the different just.
Hey, having a moratorium on rent for apartments that didn't take place in the commercial world. They pay, right? Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Neil, I really appreciate you being on the show today. You shared a ton of value, and I really am grateful for you being able to share your experience as well as an agent and as an investor, and really share how real estate agents out there can actually build their wealth and not have to sell real estate until they're 120 years old or the day they die or something like that. So for our listeners and viewers out there that want to learn more about what you are doing, that want to invest with you, maybe they want to just grow their passive income and just get educated. Obviously they can go to your website, but what are some of the other places that they can follow you or just keep up with educational content that you're putting out there?
Yep. One of two places, agentoptional.com. Go there, get on the calendar. Let's just meet and have a conversation, or find me on LinkedIn, Neil Timmons, there on LinkedIn. That's the best ways to get me.
Awesome. We'll make sure to leave the links to both of that in the description, the show notes down below, so that way it's easy for people to find. But other than that, Neil, thank you again for being on the show. Before
My
I let
pleasure.
You go here, is there any last pieces of advice, any last tips you want to leave with our listeners before you sign off?
Start. Good question. Start now. The only thing anybody ever wishes is that they just started a little earlier, because the way everything rolls, compounds, snowballs, if you will, start earlier. Just do it now. Don't put it off.
Awesome. That's great advice, man. And I appreciate you for being here and appreciate you for tuning in. And we will see you on the next show. Take care.